Hey everyone, I've got a special episode for you today. Back in May, I did a fireside chat with my first mentee, Jeff Fenster, the founder and CEO of Everbowl, and the Pro Football Hall of Famer, Marshall Faulk. The three of us discussed understanding financial literacy and the number one goal of a leader. You can join my text community or email me at any time at the number and email listed in the description.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
What I really would love to ask you both, because I think the hardest thing for a lot of people who are probably watching this right now is small little things that happen on a daily basis. And so I know that one of the things I always like to learn from people like you and mentors and rock stars is, what are some daily habits and tips that you apply that can actually work even in the crisis of COVID-19 or the uncertainty of changing times? And how can our audience better not only learn what they are, but apply them? So if you guys would both share just some daily tips and habits that you guys are using today that you think mean and can provide the value that they're looking for.
Well, I'll go first. I think in where we're at right now, if you just look at, and you constantly hear people talk about what's not, and you hear there's uncertainty. And whenever there's uncertainty, you have to then create certainty. You have to plan your schedule. You have to plan your day, because if you don't, it'll just waste away. Before you know it, you don't know which day is which. You don't know weekends from weekdays, and then it all starts to kind of mush into one another. If you don't have a plan, it mirrors life. If you just go through life without a plan, you're waiting to bump into success. You're waiting to bump into opportunity, and you won't know it when you meet it. So I'm just, for me, my days are planned out. My schedule is made. I even schedule my weekends. I schedule my walk. I schedule when I drive. I'm like, I have this time to drive and go get stuff done. And then I'm coming back and get back to what the plan is, which is, how am I going to be successful today? What can I do to make today better than yesterday? Even if it's small things. And then I'm always setting targets. I do push-ups, sit-ups, and stuff like that. Each day, I try to make sure I do one more than I did the day before. I got better. That's it. Something that small, but you get better. It's in my head, I'm getting better. I did 25. Okay, I did 26. You did 20, 27. And if you don't set things up like that, and you don't create in your life, you're just existing. You can't exist. You have to make your existence be felt in the world.
That's awesome. I'm going to go through these briefly, but, as part of our team, we'll train you on the five things that I think make the difference, Jeff. You know them by heart. One is, take inventory of your values, personal, experiential, giving, and receiving values every single day. And don't be afraid to be a hypocrite. People are so afraid to change their mind. You have to be able to admit and illuminate, hey, you know what? I learned something. I've a person with different values today. In compressed times of uncertainty, those values are really important to understand. Two, you got to learn to ask and attract. Part of our team philosophy is not only to be of service and of value, but ask for help. And so those are the two series of questions that I beat into the minds of my mentees like you again and again and again. Why didn't you ask me for help? Three, like Marshall said, he is a student of his calendar. What he was explaining is, he pays attention to and gives intention to all the coincidences that he wants in his life, for what he has planned, what he doesn't have planned, and even his sleep. And then do it now. One of the things that all of us on the screen have in common is, we get shit done. 100% of the things you do now get done. The difference between successful people and non-successful people are, I have found successful people get stuff done. And we'll teach you how to do that as well. And then finally, one of the biggest things, which Marshall actually mentors me on, both inadvertently and directly, is practicing ending fear. There's great fear in the notoriety, the popularity. There's great fear about what people think. And, the more people that follow you, know you, and do these things, is I'm learning, being that participant, not the agent. You have to be very focused on practicing ending fear in your life and being able to make a difference and to be able to listen to your voice and vote for what you want for the betterment of other people. And so those are the five things that, I really live by, those pillars in which to effectuate consistently persistent pursuit of my potential and others.
And I can vouch that I have been a student of all of these, and they have worked for me over the course of my career. And so I can't stress the importance enough for those listening to really take record of that and see what you are doing and what you aren't, and follow the, well, as Marshall said, the Kaizen approach of getting 1% better every day, doing that extra rep. And most importantly, what Dave said about doing it now, because those two things will change your life. And that's a great segment into one of the questions I really want to ask, which is, what do you guys see the true need or pain point of around financial literacy, especially right now with the masses today?
You know, I'll go first on this one. You know, I think it's understanding capabilities, and the capabilities are the aggregate of the skills that you need, the knowledge that you're going to acquire, and the desire, right? And all three of these things are formulatic in working with us on those skills, knowledge, and desire. What we do is we take those capabilities that you have today, we enhance them, and we align them synergistically and supplementary to opportunities that exist today. There's opportunities in our space that are growing, right? Unlike the retail space that poor Jeffrey's stuck in right now, it's not a growing industry, but he's preparing himself with his capabilities synergistically and supplementary to what will happen. Today, this is growing. This is an opportunity that exists today and will grow in the future, but it's not going to be taken advantage of unless you synergize and create supplementary income and supplementary interest by utilizing your skills, knowledge, and desire to effectuate what's going on today, what's going to go on tomorrow, to create the ability to make money, help people, and have fun.
And I think that in order for this whole thing to kind of manifest, and for what we're trying to do to exist and for it to populate and reach as many people as possible, the first thing that has to happen to each and every one of us is to admit that, hey, I'm not financially literate, or know exactly how financially literate you are, and know where you rest and where you can grow and where you can gain. Because if you don't know where you're at, guess what? You don't know where you can go. You know, if you don't know that, it's just that simple. And accepting this, and listen, I'm gonna speak to the men that's listening. Our pride, our ego, it gets in the way sometimes that we don't want to tell people, hey, here's what I don't know. Hey, I need help. Hey, can you let me know this? Instead of going to the people that's willing to help us, we'll go to the people and pay them to help us, which is crazy. But that's what we will do to keep our anonymity and for people to think that if you figure it out, you're smarter than if you ask about it and find it out. No. Knowledge is just key. It doesn't matter how you get it. And trust me, if I can get it without paying for it, I'm going to take it. I am going to take it. Hey, I went to public school. I went to college on a scholarship. I will take it. A lot of great things have came to me for free. Now, I appreciate and I'll pay for it when I have to. But the important part is making sure you understand that it's okay to let people know what you do not know. And when we share in our experiences of what we do not know, of the failures and the things that did not happen, then we open up the possibility for everybody to succeed, for everybody to help people, for everybody to make money, for everybody to grow and be what they want to be.
Absolutely. Amazing. And so I think once you understand the importance of learning what you don't know and gaining that financial literacy, can I have you both talk about the partnership that we're creating and how you see this really helping people not only get that literacy, but then also how that they can create a vision and a strategy so they can have a strong financial foundation moving forward?
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, got it. So, you know, the diversity that we have on our team that you can see on your screen right now with different skills, knowledge, and desire allow you to be able to not only ask how you can be of service to other people, but allow us to empower you with the knowledge to be that free help for you for whatever you want to get out of this, right? This is a platform that is going to allow you to empower yourself, to empower others according to your values at whatever pace or speed that you want to work in, whatever your needs and your values are, as well as one of the key components that I see, Jeff, is that I don't know any other partnership that I've had where we have a stronger bug light. You know, my whole business model from Lee Steinberg to Sports One Marketing was always based off of utilizing people to attract people to help people. And, you know, the empowerment of being able to tell people that Marshall and I are your partners, that Jeff and Tyree are your partners, will enhance your capability to get those appointments, to get the phone calls, the emails returned. When you tell them what team you're on, you know, it's like playing for the world champion. You know, I can tell you some really average players that still put Super Bowl champion next to their name, and they get more speaking engagements than I do, and they can trip over themselves and their lips. But that is a moniker. We are the Super Bowl champions when it comes to this team, and you might as well wear the ring and be able to tell people you're with the two MVPs.
I love it. I love it. Here's the reality of what we do and why this thing is what it is, and why the whole financial literacy component, it's just a small part of what we do, but it's so big. It's very instrumental, because if you're not financially literate, then this opportunity, you might just walk by it. I mean, you might not even notice that it's there. And if you don't know that you're financially illiterate, if you don't know that, then once again, you might just walk on by, because you won't know that it says, hey, the money is right here. Hey, philanthropy is right here. Hey, self-improvement is right here. Because it's all wrapped up into one in what we do. And here's what I'm gonna say. You know, there's a lot of different things out there that people can do. There's a lot of different things. I mean, you can go be a part of a lot of different things. You can literally sit in masterminds, and people can give you all sorts of education and tell you exactly how to do it, when to do it, what to do. And then when that's over, you walk out there and you're looking at the world like, what's going on? The beauty to what we do is, we collaborate and we work together as a team. We don't just give you education and information and send you to the wolves. We walk out there and show you how to navigate. We help you build it. And what I love is, and this is awesome. We literally work together and we compete against one another in the same sense. It's just like, you don't get to do that. That is not allowed in the business world, but in our model, it is actually how we better ourselves. Iron sharpens iron. And that's what we do. And that's literally how this thing operates. You know, we know the opportunity that we have, and we understand that as individuals, we are pretty darn good. We're pretty good at what, but together, like when we do this, or when we do things with people in groups, talking about powerful stuff like this that can change people's mindset, mentality, and get them places that they never thought that they can go, we're really moving the needle. We're really moving the needle. And that's what we want to do. It's an opportunity. And here's the reality. If you sleep too long, you're going to miss it. You know what I'm saying? That's reality.
And I think it's so powerful, especially because I know that when I first got exposed to my limitations when it came to, you know, my understanding of the different financial components and really understanding where my financial literacy was, I felt a little intimidated. And I'm sure a lot of people listening, they look at the screen and they see these rock stars and they go, well, that's great, but I'm not there yet. And so it's really, it's powerful to know that you're not just being educated from an abstract side, but you're truly joining a team. And you're going to be, as Marshall said, competed with, but also helped through to navigate and understand how to take this walk. So what advice would you give to someone who is sitting there going, yeah, you know what? I know that I need to improve my financial literacy, but I just don't know if this is the right next step for me or what I should do to get that kind of initial confidence going.
Oh man. This is always tough for me, because I don't, I rarely meet people where they're at. And when I do, I'm like dragging them to get where I'm going. Because I can't stay where they're at. Their level is usually not where I'm at. And when I meet people that's on my level, you know, I just want to be around you. You know, it's like nice to have company. So the mindset is this. If they're thinking like that, they're in a failing, they have a failing mindset. So I want to try to get them to fail fast so they can succeed sooner. That's all I want them to do. Like, go ahead and get that out. Get that out as fast as you can. And get it over with. Say, ask me all the questions as to why you should not do this, and then I'm going to tell you why you should. So the sooner we get that out of the way, the more clear you can be, and then you'll start to bump into success. You'll start to, like, you'll say, you know what, I'm going to walk down the block, make a right, success is waiting for me. And that's what my day is like. We have to get people in that mindset. You have to get that mindset if you want greatness. Not good, greatness.
And I think working with us as well, you learn there's no overnight successes, right? We'll be able to share the stories of the enjoyment of the consistent, persistent pursuit of your own potential, allowing you to lower the bar, not to build such huge expectations of where you're going and where to start. It's a lifetime journey of improving yourself, accelerating and growing. And we teach that consistent behavior and the enjoyment of it. And I think that mindset is something that I see in all great Hall of Famers, all great entrepreneurs like you and Tyree as well. It's the ability to say, look, I'm just going to take one baby step today and learn how to make that baby step grow exponentially, as well as accelerate that baby step. Because if you take a baby step and you let it grow into a giant leap, and you let that grow into an unbelievable flight someday, and then you also accelerate it to the speed of a Marshall Faulk, and this man moves really fast, by the way, you're talking about unbelievable potential. And everybody has their own potential, and we're going to work within the guide of where you are, where your mindset is. Like Marshall said, I'm going to let you get out of your own way. We're going to get there as quickly as we can. We're going to push you. You're the aggregate of the five people that you spend the most time with. You might as well be aggregating with us.
So powerful. And I will have to say, the one thing that made me absolutely fully committed to join the team and help drive this initiative is the importance of multiple streams of income, especially now. And I really want to spend some time on this because I don't think enough people understand the importance. They have a job or they have a way that they're making money and they think that that's enough. And they don't recognize that it's essential, especially right now, to have multiple streams of income. Can you guys share your thoughts on that?
Yeah, just real quickly, you know, people get confused when they talk about multiple streams of income, because that usually means that there's two diverse or distinctive ways that you're making money. What makes this unique is it's a supplement, it's a complement to everybody's life. It's the ability to understand that we're already interacting with people in person, on the phone, via email and social media. That interaction to be of service and to provide value can be enhanced with whatever you're doing today. And sometimes it may even supplement or actually take over for what you're doing today as you and your values deem necessary and fit. So I see this as, you know, not necessarily it's a multiple streams of income, but it's generated from the same core from whatever you're doing. You don't have to, you know, if you're a toll booth operator, you don't have to go ahead and do something completely different. You're always interacting with people in these various methods to provide value and service and to ask how other people can help you. And, you know, to my favorite part, we're providing true service and value, from financial literacy to motivation, inspiration, and monetization. And that's truly the benefits that you can get out of this.
You know, I just, multiple streams of income kind of fall in line with team. It fall in line with us uniting to do what we do. Having one stream of income, man, it puts you in the position that, exactly what we're talking about, which is pivoting. It's tough, because if you don't have other streams of income, what are you pivoting towards or to? So you have to have somewhere, like, to pivot. If you pivot and nothing's there, guess where you're coming back to? Where you started. Just a 360. If nothing's there, you have to pivot to something. So, you know, I've been fortunate enough that, and let me be honest, I don't want everybody to think that I planned, like, hey, I want to have multiple streams. No, I'm literally a serial entrepreneur. I invest in things, and I like doing things with other my friends, because I want to give people an opportunity. Some of the better things that I have as streams of income, it literally came as doing good gestures to help people out. It wasn't always the, oh my God, this is going to make me so much money. Boom. No, that's not the case. It's not the case. Some of those things, I mean, they failed me at times. and you're going to win some battles and you're going to lose some battles. But the idea is, I always make sure that I'm in a position that I can always pick myself up, that I don't put all of my eggs in one basket, and I have a chance to show people that I can pivot. I have other things to lean on, and I have other things to depend on when my main sources, let's say, get stuck in COVID-19, like a prevent defense stopping me from scoring right now. And most of the things that I do, I have a resource. I'm a chomp away and just, I'm gonna take the yards that they're giving me. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you have to do. You must do that.
Absolutely. And I'd like to share with everyone an analogy that I heard about multiple streams of income that just impacted me so well. And I've taken so much knowledge from it. And it's, imagine jumping out of an airplane and you have the perfect parachute. Who doesn't want a second backup chute? Even if you're never going to need it, even if you don't think you need it, who doesn't want that? For that one time where it doesn't work right. And if you're jumping with just one chute, just remember, you're jumping with just one chute. And so you should always be having that security to know that if COVID-19 happens or any of these craziness or crazy things happen, you have a backup. And that backup doesn't have to be your primary focus. It doesn't even have to be done, as Marshall was saying, where you expect to make a lot of money from it. It just has to be, you can do it through giving. And that's a perfect segue into sharing. Not only can you do this for yourself, but financial literacy is something you can give, and you can give as business owners to your employees. And I would love for you guys to share just some ways that business owners can provide opportunities to their employees during this time through financial literacy.
Yeah, I'm doing it every day. I do through training and listening. So, you know, I do free trainings every Friday, not only just for my employees where it started over 20 years ago, but thousands of people now every Friday around the world. So I think, you know, financial literacy is the ability to understand what are the business issues that are critical to making money. You know, most people are too afraid to understand, you know, what it is to make money. They either financially haven't been taught the math or ask for help on the math. But usually what I see the biggest problem is the energy that people have. If you notice the energy of the people on the screen, they're not afraid to receive. And, you know, I see a lot of people when it comes to financial literacy, the biggest issue is they're not able to receive. So to be able to teach your employees to receive, to be radically humble, to ask for help, to say, I don't know, to be more interested than interesting, all these different philosophies that, you know, I've taught for over two decades now within the context of whatever changes, whether it was, you know, way back in 93, 97, 2001, 2008, or even now, when the greatest challenges occur in business, that financial literacy, we only know what we know. And I think my favorite thing that Marshall has taught me, we had an interaction together and he talked about, his mom said, you know, you just got to stop once in a while. And it really hit me because I'm the same way. I'm productive, accessible, and gracious. And I get the most out of the day and all this stuff. And what I realized, even though I meditate for 20 minutes a day, that, you know, that's not enough. And that my own financial literacy, what I don't know, what I didn't know about my own person with my own finances, I'm learning every single day. So it's a lifetime journey. And that lesson needs to be led by mentors, people that sit in the situation that you want to be in. And so if you're going to buy real estate, don't ask Warren Buffett about real estate. Right? He knows about stocks, right? Warren Buffett has his expertise in what he knows. You know, don't ask your mom. She loves you. Don't ask her, she's a second grade teacher, about business. And that goes true. Like, you know, in this business, the biggest rejection people have is ignorance and resistance. They're too afraid. And they'll find reasons. And you're not, they'll find reasons. Like, my wife said this, this said this. I was like, well, hold a second. You know, you're going back to asking a second grade teacher about business. Go ahead. Ask people about business that know about that particular business. You want to know about acai bowls? Ask Jeff Fenster. The man is an expert at acai bowls. Do not ask him about a dance studio. He knows nothing about that business. And I do, wait, by the way, I do know a lot about Popeyes. I do. Experience. I've eaten. I'm surprised my heart is still ticking.
Oh, man, that was good. You know, when I think about what a lot of business owners could be doing for their employees, especially around the financial literacy. Here's what I know. Here's what I know, okay? A lot of employers, their thoughts of keeping employees is by not empowering them or educating them. See, if we can get the employer to understand, if you educate the employee and you get their mindset to thinking like an entrepreneur instead of an employee, then your business is going to be better. And as they continue to leave and open stuff up, you're going to get more people coming, flowing through your business because they're going to understand that that's a place, that's a hub that's going to get you to the next level. It's not a burial, you know, like it's a place you go. So if you get into the mindset that you want to build people and make them better, everybody that comes work with me, I'm a hard worker. I get after it, but I want to teach you how to work smarter and harder than me. That's what I want. Like to just be like me. I'm already me. Surpass me. What's being like me? That's been done already. So the ideas of the employer, it has to change. Their scarcity behind retention, people taking their ideas. Listen, man, do you think Popeyes is the only chicken company around? No. There's so many places selling chicken right now. It doesn't matter. I mean, listen, I'm one of the owners of Dirty Birds. We're sports bars here in San Diego. And hey, it's chicken sales. It's good. So you can't be afraid of teaching people and educating them and having them take the information that you give them and do better than you. That's life. It's supposed to happen that way. Like, I want people to level up, not level down.
So that's a perfect segue into what are we looking for in our partners, specifically for the audience listening today. If you guys could both articulate exactly, build the avatar of who and what you're looking for with all the potential partners so people know that this is kind of what the expectations are and what's going to be asked of them, but what also they, because we spent the last little bit telling them what they're going to get. But now what are we asking out of them so they kind of have a better idea?
You know, for me, I'm looking for one thing for team members. That's somebody that must be what they can be at whatever level it is. So if it's a part-time or full-time, whatever it is, you know, the common denominator of all the great people that I've been surrounding myself with, get to be around, work, do business with, interview, whatever it is, they all have a common denominator. If you must be what you can be, then this is the place for you. And we can work with that. We can teach you whatever we want. We can help you make introductions. You can use our brand and our team and all the resources. This is an extraordinary opportunity. You have, you know, literally just got to show up and learn, and you will be able to perform at an exceptional level, especially if you have that one common denominator and a desire to be what you must be.
I want, and I'm looking for, there's just something about how I look at things, because even when I didn't have it, the things that I did in life did not involve chasing money. You know, it's always been about love, passion, helping other people, wanting what's best, doing what's right. And those are the kind of people that I want. Now, you know, obviously we're not doing this to make like statements that, oh, we want people who want to work hard. If I have to tell you that, then you probably shouldn't be on this call. I want people who want more in their life than what they're getting right now, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to get it, and not be worried about public perception or what people say about them or what people write about them on Instagram. The only thing that they're worried about is results. That's it. If you are okay with that, and you can rest on those things, and if you're okay with being the laughing stock now, and you'll be the person that they are going to want to be like later, then this is it. Because that was me pretty much my whole life growing up. And then when they saw me, it was like, I know him. Yeah. Yeah. So I can get you there. We can get you there, but you have to want to get there, and you have to be willing to do what it takes to get yourself there.
And we're about to open it up to some Q&A. So anyone listening, if you have any questions, please put them in the chat box, and we'll be able to, you'll be able to ask Marshall and Dave any of the questions that I know are burning a hole in your head. But I want to make sure I share with everyone that we are building an incredible team. And if you think you have what it takes, we're asking you to take a video of yourself telling us why you'd be a great addition to our partnership and why we should mentor you. And if you direct message it, and we'll put the hashtag in the chat box, and you'll be able to share with us kind of why it should be you, and you want the opportunity to work with us. And so we're really excited, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to join two amazing MVPs and an incredible team and really get...
I love that.
We do. I love it more than you.
I like saying it. Yeah. But really, you get the opportunity to not only get taught a lot of information you didn't know, get a blueprint on how to achieve it, but get to join a team of people who truly care more about your success than they do about their own. And you're going to feel it and see it. And as a student of my entire life of this, these concepts and from these guys, I can tell you it works. And so I really encourage everyone to spend that time, make that video. And with that, I'd like to ask you guys some questions from the audience today. Andrell wants to know, what are some projects or work that some of you guys do outside of this business?
I got time. We got so many, got time. Yeah. You know, I personally have Sports One Marketing. So we do marketing and media in around sporting events. I also have my own brand. So I write books. I speak around the world. I'm executive coach. I have a TV show called Elevator Pitch, a podcast called The Playbook. I do free trainings every Friday for everyone as well. I have multiple investments that I've made in all types of industries as a venture capitalist myself. Just to name a few things, I'm a father of four and happily married to an amazing woman. And that's just a start.
I mean, man, I do so much stuff. Let's see. Actually, I'll talk about the stuff that the stuff that I'm in service with. You know, with the things that I do, because I mean, all the things that I do to make money. Those are things that I do to make money, and a lot of them don't require a lot of my time. It requires leadership and for me to and my guidance. But I'm the national spokesperson for a foundation for Drug Free World. We go around and basically we give away free information to schools and parents to educate them on just some of the struggles and things that they might not know that their kids are having, so they can identify with what their kids are going through. Because if you didn't grow up in and around drugs, and now your kids are exposed to drugs because of social media and all this other stuff, you might be oblivious to your kid having an issue and miss it and end up losing them when you could have helped them. So I'm always advocating for that, you know, and I understand living in California, how it is, you know. It's I'm not telling people what not to do. I'm just providing people who want an option or want to educate themselves on what they are doing, exactly what they are doing. So that's one thing. I lost my mom to a diabetes complication. So I'm the national spokesperson for, the Diabetes Association, and I go around and speak on that and talk to just it's weird how sometimes when you live in certain parts of the world. So I'm from New Orleans, and the food is rich down there, and we love our food, and we'd rather eat and die from our food than to eat healthy and not be able to eat the food. And that was a choice that my mom made, and a lot of people make that decision, like, hey, I'm gonna be happy with this, and they cut their lives short. And it's just educating people on that it doesn't have to be that way. You know, it took me a while to understand the mentality of, you know, whether you eat to live or you live to eat. Which one is it? You know, and if you get them mixed up, life can be short for you. So those are the things that I do, and I spend a lot of time with those things. I mean, a lot of time with those things, and they don't pay me. They don't pay me monetarily, but they pay me way more than money could ever pay me. Way more than money could ever pay me. And the both of them wrap around the Marshall Faulk Foundation and what we do for kids to empower, educate, and give them an opportunity than what they would ever thought they could have based on a neighborhood that they grow up in, because I work with inner city kids. And usually they need to see more than what they have around them. So it's easy to talk about the things that make money, but you know, I want to highlight the things that don't make me money that I spend a lot of time with as well.
Incredible. Eric wants to know that you guys are talking about planning your days intentionally. Are there any planner apps that you use or recommend, or how he can best start to apply that?
You know, for me, I use just straight Outlook and then a written calendar. So there's two types of reminders. I use systems with people reminding me, but I live by my Outlook calendar because it sits on my phone. It can be accessed by other people. It syncs all around, but I also have a desk calendar. And what I found is with all the intricate details, when you're a student of your calendar, it's really important to put like on your desk calendar, Mother's Day is Sunday. Because I've learned the hard way that the bigger things need to be written very big in print right in front of you, as you always, you know, sit there at the desk and look at to remind you of the really important things. So I use a combination of a written calendar and a syncable calendar. It doesn't have to be Outlook, but something that syncs not only with your stuff, but allows you to allow other people to look and have access to remind you, to collaborate with you. I also use a word, my calendar commands me. And the word commandment's one of the most misunderstood words. People think command means to demand. Command means to work with. And so I work in symbiosis, or I work with my calendar, and so does everyone else around me, as a hub to utilize in a productive, accessible, and gracious way the time that God has given us to utilize.
For me, I Google Calendar is where I put my month. That's where I put my month, but you know, it's hard when you're old school. It's hard not to be old school. I literally have this. It's laminated. And I fill it in. This is my week. This is my day. It's time every half an hour. And that's, I literally, you know, I sit here and I go by it because.
You need a whistle, man. With that chart, you need a whistle, your hat backwards. You're your own coach.
I'm just, you know, man.
I have to go to the next meeting.
I used to not be good about time. And when I got to the NFL, you know, the NFL, they teach you lessons in a very hard way. And they don't believe in teaching you and giving you the opportunity to learn. They teach you by, they don't even tell you, you just show up and there's a slip that you just have you show up late, 2 minutes, 1 minute. 1 minute late, that's $10,000. You show up with the fine on your seat. They don't even tell you. They don't tell you nothing about walking in late. They don't say anything to you. It's not like an argument or a discussion. You just, it's deducted out. And guess what? They don't wait for you to pay it. They just take it out of your check. It's like 10 grand for, I was a minute late, 10 grand. Okay. You learn like that. So I'm diligent about my time now. Diligent.
So Raphael has a question that I love, and I'm so excited to hear what you guys have to say. But he wants to know, which are the set of values you think are the most valuable to be a good person, and which are the ones to be a good professional?
Same for me. I mean, there's no difference between my professional and my personal life. There's activity I get paid for, activity I don't get paid for. And I use an adaptable value routine of, number one, your health is your most important thing. I know Marshall touched on that. I had to learn that later on in life that, you know, if you don't take care of yourself, you're not gonna be able to take care of anybody else. And your health is the most important thing. Then I go to my family. Then I go to my associates. Then I go to, believe it or not, the student in my calendar, because that's what allows me to effectuate what I want to achieve personally and professionally. You know, I don't know anyone that can separate person and profession. You know, some people, you don't want to define yourself by what your profession is, but your person is the activity that you get paid for and the activity you don't. And that's how I define who I am. And I want to maximize the activity I get paid for so I can be rich enough to make other people rich.
For me, it's consistent. Commitment, integrity, courage, respect, excellence. And those goals, those values, I mean, they'll stick with me. And the funny part is, those have always been my values. I use a couple of different words because they mirror the same values that are the Hall of Fame values, but they've been with me. They've been with me and everything. Whenever I talk about values, the first thing that you're gonna ever hear me, anytime you hear me talk, is gonna be commitment, because it starts with that. Anything that you value, anything that you do, anything that you respect, anything that you want, you must commit to it first.
So, gentlemen, I want to ask you to please share some final thoughts and just anything else that you want to add that we didn't get to cover. You think the audience needs to hear before we pass it over to closer, Tyree.
You know, my last thought to, you know, one word that hasn't come out that is representative of everybody that we're working with is kindness. You know, I know Marshall was talking about his greatest honors, all the philanthropic work that he does and where he primarily spends his time. But most of the people, you know, don't, and they underestimate the power of kindness. And the legacy that I want to leave is that idea of kindness. And if we can take anything away from being on this team, one thing we learn is to be kind to our future selves by doing good deeds. And if you do that, everything else will take care of it of itself. And I think all four of us have lived that life and journey, and we trust it more and more. The more you live that journey of kindness, the more you have faith in kindness. And I hope that we can be a catalyst for everyone just to be kind.
Well, for me, the word leadership to me, it's so strong and so powerful. It's something that I sit in all the time. And even when I don't want to be in that position, I find myself in that position. And I think that a lot of people speak on it, talk about it, say they have it, and they don't understand exactly what it means. Most people take leadership, they think dictatorship, they think demand, they think forefront, they think all of that stuff. I don't look at leadership like that. I actually look at leadership as serving people, because people need you in a sense. So you're serving. And if you consider yourself a leader, but you don't want to serve, then the statement of if serving you is below you, then leadership is beneath you. You know, that's you cannot be a leader without serving people. You have to serve. And I just, you know, there's a lot of leaders out there or claim to be, you know, but if you're not leading, if you're not serving, then you're not leading.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode in any way or found any value, screenshot it, share it, however you like. My only ask is you help me empower others to be happy.